This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
This is what Acts chapter 4, verse 36 says. It says, "And Joses, whose by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation," or your translation may say, the son of encouragement, "a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Let us pray. Jesus, I simply pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to go before us. God, without your Spirit, anything and everything that we would try to do, anything and everything that we would try to do will be vanity and vexation. So Holy Spirit of God, as I speak to ears, I ask you to speak to hearts. I ask you to minister in a way that I can't. And so may you be glorified. And for all you do today, we praise you, for we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Until you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I begin to think about the title of what actually I was going to call this message. And I came up with this conclusion. One of the greatest principles I've ever learned. One of the greatest principles I've ever learned. And when I get to it, it's going to seem so elementary. But it's one of the greatest principles I've ever learned. Because see, ladies and gentlemen, the principles that we live by determine the world that we live in. The principles we live by determine the world that we live in. Methods are many, principles are few. Methods are always changing, but principles never, ever do. Now here's it. Here's the principle that's one of the greatest principles that I've ever learned. It helps me to help others. It helps me to help others. You say, "Well, no, preacher, I'm going through a tough time. I'm going through a difficult time," whether it be in your family, whether it be in your health, whether it be in your finances, whether it be in your occupation, whether it be whatever the dilemma may be. But preacher, I'm going through a real difficult time. Well, I understand that. But you got to understand something. It helps you to help other people. You say, "Pastor, my world's crashing." It may be, but I want you to understand something. It helps you to help other people. The father of modern psychology, Carl Menninger, was asked, "If you ever feel like you're about to have a nervous breakdown, what do?" Dr. Menninger said these words. He said, "Get up from where you're at. Go down the street and find somebody who is in worse condition than you're in and help them. When you feel like you're about to have a nervous breakdown, find somebody that's in worse shape than you're in and help them." Now, 85% of pink ladies have no emotional problems. So what do we need to do? Get us some of those pink jackets? I really don't think the pink jacket is the answer. I think the answer is this. They don't have emotional issues. They're volunteers because their focus is not on themselves. Their focus is on other people. See, the Bible says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Here's what I want you to see. One of the greatest principles I've ever learned is it helps me to help others. There was a Scottish farmer. He was just a poor farmer. And one day he was out working in his field and he heard a scream. And he just followed the voice And he followed the voice and followed the voice. And finally he came and he saw a boy that was in a sinkhole. He was waist deep in the sinkhole. And moment by moment, he was sinking down. That farmer took a stick, told the boy to grab the stick, pulled the boy out of the sinkhole, and saved his life. And the poor farmer went right back to the field and went to work. He said the next day, an expensive carriage pulled up. Out of the expensive carriage was a well-dressed man. He looked like success. He stepped out. He had money in his hands. And he said, "Sir, I want to pay you." And the farmer said, "Pay me. Pay me for what?" He said, "You saved my son's life yesterday. You saved my son's life." And the farmer said, I can't take any money. I just can't take any money. And about that time, a young man walked up, age equivalent to the son that was saved. And he said to him, "Is that your son?" He said, "Yes, it is." He said, "Well, since you won't take money from me, at least let me give him the level of education that I'm going to give my son. At least let me do that." And the man said, "Okay." And that man paid for that man to go to St. Mary's Medical School. That young boy graduated from St. Mary's Medical School. His name was Alexander Fleming. What did Alexander Fleming do? He discovered penicillin. A few years later, that boy who was in the sinkhole developed pneumonia. He was dying. But there was a drug that saved his life. That drug was penicillin. Who was that boy? You may have heard of him. His name was Sir Winston Churchill. Ladies and gentlemen, always remember this. It helps you to help others. When you give flowers to other people, it always leaves a fragrance in your hands. You say, "Pastor Benny, I'm going through a tough time." I know you're going through a tough time, but here's the advice from the Word of God. Help somebody else. Help somebody else. You say, "Preacher, where do you get this?" James 5 and 16. Look at this. Confess your faults one to another. Now, we don't do that. Now, the Bible tells us to do it, but we don't do it. Amen? Confess your faults one to another. We should, because there's so much bad in the best of us and there's so much good in the worst of us, it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Confess your faults one to another. Now wait. And pray one for another. Now, somebody's going through a hard time. You pray for them. You love on them. You encourage them. They're going through a hard time. Wait, oh, this is so good. Look, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. What's he saying? When my focus is not on me, but it's on praying for others. It's on helping others. Look what it says. Look here. That ye may be healed. God does supernatural healing in my heart when I get my mind off me and on somebody else. Now wait. You tell me there's something better than the Word of God. You'll never convince me. You'll never convince me. Hey, folks, I just stopped by this morning to tell you that God only wrote one book. It's the Bible. Amen? There was a man in the Bible. Mom and Daddy said, we're going to name him Joses. Okay, they named him that. But he lived such an example. He lived such a life that the Bible says the apostles said, we're going to give him another name. Whew. We're going to name him the Son of Encouragement. Yeah, we're not going to call him Joses. We're not going to call him Joses. We're going to call him Barnabas, which means the Son of Encouragement. Now, I just want to say this. It's the same word, Parakletos, in the Greek, which is the word for the Holy Spirit. The same word. What a guy this guy was. That we're going to give him a new name. We're going to give him the name, the Son of Encouragement. You say, Brother Benny, I like that. How can I be like this guy, Barnabas? Get this. Be a person who brings blessings to others. Be a person who brings blessings to others. And look, the Bible says in verse 36 and verse 37, he sold this property, this fertile soil, and he brought the money and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Someone said, Brother Benny, you don't preach a lot about giving. No, I really don't. Because what I've learned, folks, what I love, I give to. And if I can get people to fall in love with Jesus Christ, that will take care of itself. If I can just get people to fall in love with Jesus. But here's what I know, folks. You can give without loving. But you can't love without giving. You say, well, Pastor Benny, so they sold their land, they brought the money, and they gave it to the ministry. Everybody probably did that. No. That's Acts 4, 36 and 37. But if you read Acts 5, 1 and 2 in that chapter, there was a couple. They said they was going to give their money to the Lord's work. But they didn't. The Bible says they lied to the Holy Spirit. They didn't. You said, Pastor Benny, what happened? God smote them dead. I bet the offering was up the next week in that church. What do you think? Amen? I bet they was running. I bet the offering was up. Here's all I know, folks. Be a person who brings blessings to others. Don't look for what you can get. Look for what you can give. Because givers always have more than enough, and takers never have enough. Think about it. The word miser is the root word of miserable. You want to be miserable? Just be a miser. You want to have joy? You look to give. You don't look to take, but rather you look to give. You say, each day I'm going to pour into others. I'm literally going to give to others. By the way, Jesus was a giver. You say, Brother Benny, how do you know that? Well, if I read Matthew chapter 17, verse 27, he not only paid his taxes, but he paid Peter's taxes. He wasn't looking for somebody to give to him. He was looking for somebody to give to. I heard about a little boy that went in an ice cream shop, and he said, how much is an ice cream sundae? And the waitress was real rude, sharp and rude. She said, 50 cents. And he started counting his change. And then he said, well, how much is just a plain ice cream? She said, 35 cents. He started counting his pennies. He said, just give me a plain ice cream. And he had his ice cream, And he finished it up, and he was getting ready to leave. And the waitress walked over and picked up the dish. And underneath the dish was 2 nickels and 5 pennies. His tip, 15 cents. I wonder who had the greatest day. He or the waitress. Folks, you want to have a good life? Be a giver and not a taker. You want to have a good life? You start wanting to give blessings to other people. It's woven about Barnabas. It's woven about Barnabas. Barnabas, see, the church starts growing and it starts expanding 300 miles north of Jerusalem to a place called Antioch. And let me tell you what happens. Barnabas goes up there, and it says in Acts 11 and 21, and the hand of the Lord was with him, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. What was happening? I'll tell you what was happening. They was having a great revival up there in Antioch. And you know what Barnabas said? In verse 25 and 26, he said, I want Paul to come up here. I want Paul to be a part of this opportunity. I wonder, folks, how many opportunities has perhaps God given you? And if you said, I want somebody else to be a part of this. God's blessed you, sir, in a lot of ways with opportunities. Folks, when I have an opportunity, I can say, God bear me record in the pulpit. The first thing that comes to my mind is, who can I bring with me? Who can experience this also? Some of you say, Pastor Benny, I've got beach house, I've got a lake house, I've got all these. Well, listen, why don't you use this as an opportunity to bless other people? If God's put you in a position to bless people, why don't you do it? Why don't you? You say, Pastor Benny, I've got this massive, beautiful boat. Well, that's wonderful. Why don't you take other people with you? Now, don't take them on Sunday morning during church time. But all I'm trying to say, folks, be a person who brings blessings to others. When God blesses us, he's got more than us in mind. I'll tell you something else. Be a person who breaks barriers for others. Be a person who breaks barriers for others. Let me explain. Saul was a man who persecuted the church. He literally went around, he was, you know, destroying Christians, and he was fighting the cause of Christ. Somebody said, well, he got saved and God changed his name to Paul. That's really not what happened. If you read the Bible close, the Bible never says God changed his name to Paul. He started calling himself Paul. You got to understand what the word Paul means. It means a small one. It tells you about how his heart was. A small one. Now, look, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. I believe he changed his name to Paul so he could reach the Romans with the gospel. But look what the Bible says about him. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not he was a disciple. What happened? Here's what happened, folks. He gives his life to Christ, and he wants to become a part of the church. And they said, no. We don't want him. See, folks, we get in trouble when we say, we don't want them. We get in trouble when we say, we don't want them. We get in trouble if we become a sacred sorority for snubbing sinners. We get in trouble. He's done some bad things. We don't want him. But if you look, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he'd seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken of him and how he'd preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. What did he do, folks? He stepped forward and said, hey, folks, he's okay. He's one of us. He's one of us. See, here's what I want you to understand. What's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to break barriers for others. Whether it's social barriers, relational barriers, educational barriers, opportunity barriers. Our responsibility is to break barriers for other people. It's to help other people succeed. It's to believe in other people until they can believe in themselves. Not too long ago, I was preaching in Cairo, Georgia, down with Pastor Johnny Moore. And I said to Pastor Johnny, I said, while I'm here in Cairo, I want to see something. He said, what on earth would you want to see in Cairo, Georgia? I said, I want to go to the Jackie Robinson birthplace. I want to go see where this boy, whose daddy was a sharecropper, whose grandfather was a slave, who was the first man, the first black man to play professional baseball. I want to go see where he was born. See, folks, there's only two jerseys. There's only two jerseys that's retired in every stadium. Every stadium you go to, Jackie Robinson's jersey is retired in every stadium because he broke that barrier. He broke that color barrier. What you may not know is when he was trying to play baseball, he and his wife were getting death threats. What you don't know is he got all kind of hate mail. What you don't know is when he would step out on the field, he would be described by words that are deplorable. But he kept on. But he kept on. He kept on. He said one night we were playing in Brooklyn. He said, I played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. They were supposed to be my people. That was supposed to be the people that were cheering for me. And he said, I was playing second base, and that was supposed to be the people that were cheering for me. And they hit a grounder, and it went through my legs. And he said, the people in Brooklyn started calling me names. And I thought, why? Why do I want to continue this? And about that time, there was a shortstop by the name of Pee Wee Reese who walked over to where I was at. And he put his arm around me. And he looked that jeering crowd in the face. And the jeering crowd got deadly silent. He said, they wrote up in the newspaper that Pee Wee Reese saved my career. He said, Pee Wee Reese not only saved my career, he saved my life. Because I was going to commit suicide that night. Let me say something, folks. There is no place for racism anywhere. There is no place for racism anywhere. And racism is an abomination in the nostrils of God. Nobody is superior to anybody because of the color of our skin. God created us all equal, and God sees one race, that being the human race. Just one. Here's what I want to say to you. Be a person who brings blessings to others. Be a person who breaks barriers for others. But be a person who builds bridges for others. Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, look what God's word says. It says, and some days after Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and just see how they're doing. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Barnabas said, Paul, you know, on the first journey, we took Mark with us. We want to be sure to take him back. But Paul said, no, we don't want to take him. See, he quit on us at Pamphylia. He's a quitter. And we don't want to take him. The contention was so sharp between them. I mean, here we're talking apostles, but contention's great. They departed asunder from the other. Barnabas took Mark. And Paul and Silas went on their way. The great apostle Paul said, I've given up on Mark. I'm done with him. Barnabas said, you may be, but I'm not. You may be, but I'm not. Paul later acknowledged the error of his way. You say, preacher, how do you know he acknowledged it? Well, look what 2 Timothy 4:11 says. He said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark. He said, Timothy, bring Mark, for he is profitable for me in the ministry. Folks, Galatians 6:1 says this. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that means a person messes up. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. You know what the word restore means? It's a medical term. It means to reset the bone. Jesus is the healer, folks. But we're to reset the bone. Jesus does the healing. But when somebody's messed up, our responsibility is to reset the bone. Now look. This is a $20 bill. It will buy you 2 gallons of gas. Lunch at Crystal. But it's $20. It's $20. It's a $20 bill. The value is $20. Now look. Is it still valuable? What are you describing, Pastor Benny? Many churches. Many churches. We're the only group I know that shoots its wounded. I wonder if it's still valuable. But what if it... What if it gets in the muck and the mire, the dirt of sin? I wonder if it's valuable. I wonder if it's valuable. It started out here, but it ended up there. I wonder if it's still valuable. But wait, no. What? Get out of there. Get out of there. What, nothing's happening? I'm going to do it the third time. Get out of there. What, nothing's happening? Maybe it's going to take somebody. Maybe. Maybe it's going to take somebody that's willing to get in the mud. Maybe it's going to take somebody that's willing to get in the dirt. Maybe it's somebody that's going to take somebody that maybe we even get talked about yourself because you got in the dirt with somebody, because you got down in the ditch with somebody, because when somebody failed, you didn't stop them, but rather you got in the dirt with them. And you got in the dirt with them. And you cleaned them off. And you loved them. And you reset the bone. Because there's still a value. There's still a value. There's still a value. Oh, I say, there's still a value. It was a great day. It was a great day. I know what you're thinking. Why not me? You should have sat on the front row. It was a great day when I realized that it really does help me to help other people. And it does you too.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.